We're going to continue on. We do have a guest with us today, and we appreciate them being here. We're going to jump to number 21 on our agenda, and we are going to get some information on the Fort Sisseton Master Plan. So Willie is with us. Welcome, Willie. And just so we all know, we are going to go through all of the finalizations today before we leave. So if we're looking at our clocks, we will work to get that done today.
There we go. Good afternoon. Thank you for adjusting the schedule for us a little bit to accommodate our guest. Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, my name is William Calignon. I'm the Regional Park Supervisor here out of Watertown for the Northeast. With me I have John Jacobson, Senior Principal with Confluence. They're a business out of Sioux Falls. And I'm going to start a little bit here. John is handing out kind of an executive summary on the Fort Sisseton Master Plan. And just a little bit of leading up to that, I don't know if many of you know, but at Fort Sisseton is kind of a unique individual. We have another governor's commission on Fort Sisseton. I have a few of those members here today. We'll have Bruce Prinz and Rosie Smith. Bruce is our chairperson up there for that commission as well. And on that commission, there's a number of 15 members. And one of those is a standing seat of the Secretary of Tourism or designee. But that commission's purpose is basically set up with to give us individuals that have experience in marketing, historical preservation, management, architectural restoration, interpretation, and regional concerns. So that's all fine and dandy. What does that mean? Really, that board serves as a mechanism to assure citizen input, much like yours does here. And those issues pertaining to management and preservation efforts of Fort Sisseton, they serve as an advisor in planning and design issues dealing with restoration interpretive projects for Fort Sisseton, and they work to ensure the continuing emphasis on a local perspective to the fort's restoration, thereby maintaining its historical integrity. So that's what their purpose and their makeup is, and we meet about three or four times a year, depending on how the weather treats us in the Northeast. That commission was also kind of charging me and my staff with some questions of how do we grow, right? How do we grow? How do we increase visitation? How do we increase our events? And so we kind of had these all of these ideas start flying around, right? And everybody has their own great ideas. When you have a lot of people giving good ideas, we start looking at how do we grow these, do we adjust this, we change this item, we move this around, and all of a sudden we're kind of realizing that between highways and lakes and sloughs and archaeological features, we're kind of bumping into each other, right? So like we're kind of, I don't know which one is going to do what. We change one for one event, say we need to move the garden because we need more parking. Well, the garden is what we revolve the Harvest Festival in the fall over, and so that changes that event. And so we start working down this road where we're kind of like we're almost stepping on each other's toes. How is this affecting operations, right? This affects staff. We bring staff in around from the district, from my region, from around the state to help out with these things. Other questions, are we meeting the demands of the public, right? That's who we're here to serve. Are we doing what we're intending? Other questions, how is technology affecting our ability to connect with people, right? These 14 buildings that we are, maintaining and ensuring for their future, they weren't really built with technology in place, right? Maybe changing from wood to charcoal, but not internet and connectivity and designing for the future. We discuss things on feasibility, right? How do we ensure that what we're doing lasts into the future? And then what are others doing, right? Other forts around the nation. And so those kind of all kind of culminated together, and we threw out a request of interest for a master planning effort, kind of looking at about three different things. spatial organization. What do we do? What's between what we want to see and what the public wants to see? How do we start lining these things out? We wanted a building assessment. We have 14 buildings that's probably arguably the best westward movement fort in this nation, right? So we want to make sure we're doing our job. What are we doing right? What are we not prepared for going forward? And then feasibility, access to grants. Is there other fundraising opportunities? What are others doing out there that we can maybe draw off on? And so with those questions kind of thrown out in front is what we turned Confluence loose with. I'll turn this over to John, and he can continue from here.
Thank you, Commissioner John Jacobson with Confluence. We were fortunate enough to be able to assist Game Fish and Parks on the development of this master plan. I know that Willie and the department sent you a link to the full master plan that you can peruse when you have some free time. And it's a 100-plus page document, not including the appendix. So it's a very detailed document that will help step out the future of the park. We believe Fort Sisseton State Park is in one of the most unique parts of the state and is probably one of the most underutilized assets within the system. And so we led a process to work with the park itself, with staff, but also with the public to develop this master plan. So we'll kind of jump into it here. So anybody who's not familiar with it, we're going to kind of run through a few things here real quick, kind of five major points. So consider this kind of the Fort Master Plan summary here. All right, go ahead and skip to the next one. All right, so in case you're not familiar with it, Fort Sisseton is located about an hour away from Aberdeen and an hour away from Watertown in a more secluded part of our state. It's a great fisheries area, lots of great access up there, but pretty remote overall. So its visitation, unless you're going to festival, is not necessarily real high because the primary draw for the park is obviously the historic nature of it. The existing park site is represented here. The main historic district of the park is approximately 35 acres in size, just to kind of give you an idea of that primary proper there. But obviously, there's additional state land located around this with access to Fort South Lake and Kettle Lake itself, and there's a boat access to Kettle Lake. And the park, besides the historic facilities, the park has a limited amount of camping access right now. And its major kind of occurrence really happens during festival, which is 3 days in June, which really is the primary draw for the park. This gives you a bird's eye view of the existing park itself, the primary 35 acres. How the fort is settled up. Obviously, a number of the structures have been removed over time. We made considerations in our planning for the remnants that we do know, and also for all the existing structures that have been preserved and are still there today. As part of our diligence for the project, we went through a lot of environmental review as part of this, working with SHPO and prior park efforts. There's a number of sensitive areas that are part of the park. The red outline there represents the historic district. So that has a certain amount of guidelines that will affect our planning as well. Now we're going to kind of talk about the public engagement process. So we did multiple things to reach out to the public, much like other things that you do within the commission, to get their feedback. Some of it was in person during festival. We were at festival both last year and this year to review our thoughts on plan and get their feedback. We also had a web-based presence to elicit people's feedback. We had comments from all over the Midwest, obviously a lot of them based here in South Dakota. All that was advertised through the department's social media, but also through public newspapers, members of our Fort Sisseton Commission, and those kind of things. So ultimately, we felt like we've got a really good public summary of how everyone felt about development of the fort. You can see that summary here. Some of the primary takeaways, one of the big ones was really the need for a visitor center. Right now, the visitor center occurs in a modified barracks building, and it's not necessarily up to the similar standards that we might have at Custer or at Gooder State Park. There's other minor things like parking, accessibility, camping sites, those kind of things that we all took into consideration as well. Willie mentioned this in the prologue. One of the main things that we looked at as part of the plan, we did a detailed analysis of each of the existing buildings within the park to be able to see what's been done, what's not been done, and what needs to be completed into the future in order to preserve those facilities. So there's pages dedicated to this plan to each one of those buildings. And then also the required maintenance and restoration of the exterior as well was part of our planning work. So now ultimately getting to the master plan, we developed this in a way that focused on a number of primary program improvements from access into the park. Right now, access, the main front door is really on the north side of the park, but when it comes to festival and day-to-day use of some of the public facilities within the park, that north access actually doesn't work very well. So our plan shows that being relocated down to the south, and obviously that leads to what's being proposed as a new visitor center as well. So The visitor center is one of the key points, but one of the reasons why that makes sense to the south is because of the day-to-day operations of the facility and public access to it. We want to make sure that visitors to the park experience the historic nature of the park in the same way that someone 100 years ago would have experienced headed into the fort. And right now, going in on the north side is the opposite of what that experience would have been. So overall, you can see parking and access improvements to the south, along with the new visitor center. The location that's proposed is just that, a preliminary location, much like the development of Good Earth State Park. It's going to take continued due diligence to verify that proposed location, but from our perspective, it really made sense as far as how people enter into the site, how some of the local staff guide people through there and use the other facilities of the park. And then ultimately, one of the bigger additions in the plan is expanded housing and camping facilities to the south. As we went through the public stakeholder process, it became very clear that people would like to use this park for more than just its historic resources as far as accessing fishing and hunting that's there, but also other types of gatherings that occur in the park, whether it's weddings or family get-togethers and those kind of things. And we looked at kind of the larger camping within the system in this neighborhood. It's pretty typically full or maxed out, and so expansion of this facility to have new housing and camping really made a lot of sense. So ultimately, go ahead, we built a plan. This is a bird's eye view of that. The visitor center is kind of identified off to the left. This was just a master plan. This identifies a program and square footage for that facility, but not necessarily what it's going to look like. That's going to be a sensitive subject as well. That will take more detailed design than what we do as part of our planning process. The groundwork has been laid for that. This is just another shot of the access to the visitor center, a new gateway into the park from the south from the highway or County Highway 5. Okay. So ultimately, we built this plan in a way that broke various parts of it into phases. Those phases we broke out into short, medium, and long-term phases, but really ultimately it's those phases can react to fundraising that the local commission will do and other opportunities through the foundation will raise up. So it's really equipping the state with a kit of parts, if you will, not necessarily establishing priorities, but really equipping you to be able to go in and say, all right, the visitor center to us is more important right now. What are we going to do? And what can the current staff do to help facilitate the eventual development of the campground and those kind of things? So we feel like we really built a very user-friendly plan. As part of that, design is one thing, but we also, beyond the operations and maintenance of the plan, we looked at potential revenue sources, what the additional camping will do, lodging, other types of permits and user fees for this area, and the impact that it can have. We also have three different examples from around the country as part of that that can be inputted and used by staff in the eventual development of this plan as well. Ultimately, we're very excited about this plan. The local commission, the Fort Sisseton Commission, Willie and his staff have been really excellent to work with. As Willie mentioned, we had a few weather challenges. It always seemed Mother Nature was working against us as we were getting together in this plan. But we have it put together and here in front of you for your information. And we appreciate your time and dedication to our state.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you both. Any questions? Commissioner Bees.
Commissioner Bees here. Is there anybody in cost production or predictions made on what the cost of doing this will be?
Yes. As part of that phasing, there's detailed costs broke out for all the improvements. And those detailed costs include more of a modest level look and more of an expensive level look, depending upon the specific decisions that are made.
Additional questions?
If I could add to that.
Yes, please.
So the plan is also kind of designed even not even just in the 0 to 5 or the 5 to 10, 10, 20 years. It's also pieced out in those that it's kind of a grab and take, right? There's a lot of things that within that plan that we even do ourselves, right? One of the number one things was hiking trails. Well, the plan initiates or actually accounts for costs of those. Well, those are things we're completely capable of doing ourselves, right? And it, you know, there's things in there like playgrounds or a visitor center that are almost 100% going to be a fundraising style initiatives, and so it's kind of a place where we can grab and move, and not necessarily a step by step process, but more of a plan. We're going, okay, these are the elements that we're really looking and interested in this plan if everything can come together.
Ultimately, we wanted to have the plan to be able to address all the costs, not necessarily how those costs are going to be paid for. But when it comes to fundraising, other types of grants and those things that are out there, we wanted to have them all identified so that Willie and his staff and the Fort Sisseton Commission could approach it how they felt necessary.
Very good. Knowing the historical nature of the park, are there any limitations as you guys look at building things, making changes?
Yeah, environmentally, there are limitations. You know, kind of the historic core of the park is, from our perspective and based on our environmental diligence, is really off limits and needs to stay as is. That's the reason why the visitor center is kind of tucked into the southwest corner. We felt like that's about as close as we could get it and not cause too much disruption to the historic core of the park. There will naturally be some folks who feel like that is still too close to the core. That's where the architecture of the visitor center will become really important to make sure that it blends in and fits with the nature of the park. And so we don't feel like they're too great, but we tried to be sensitive to that in all of our planning.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And there's a number of things that are in place, right? It's all already a state historic landmark place. We also have an application in for its eligibility into the national historic landmark, right? In the same categories as, you know, the Statue of Liberty and all those things, right? The Mount Rushmore. So it there are those things that we're working through to make sure we're not going to ultimately charge, you know, change something that will deny any of those processes.
Do we have a timeline on when we would like to maybe start? I know we've got to raise funds and get through some stuff, but is there a timeline when you'd like to start?
Well, this plan is kind of set out in the three stages, right? A 0 to 5 years, a 5 to 10, and a 10 to 20 plus. And so part of that is it seems kind of like there's a pivotal place, and we'd speak to that in the summary there of this fundraising and this notion of a visitor center. And We've kind of felt this coming along, and the public process kind of pointed us in that direction too, that this is kind of the next stage. We've also had a lot of internal conversations of, well, when you have these types of operational things come, you've got to be able to afford to operate them, right? So it's almost kind of a chicken and the egg conversation of going, well, where does this campground come into place, right? There's been a lot of campground, you know, things going. Sometimes you got to make some revenue in order to, you know, pay the bills, right? And so I think that's kind of depends on how the, you know, fundraising comes, and if that visitor center can move along at a quicker speed, I think that's kind of our determining factor in this.
Any other questions or comments at this time? Very good. This is exciting for South Dakota, so thank you.
Thank you.